You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A report has just been released from the Child Poverty Action Group regarding the government's unjustifiably slow progress on welfare reform. In February 2019, the Welfare Expert Advisory Group compiled some recommendations for our government to begin to tackle an overhaul of our welfare system, helping us make progress on poverty in New Zealand. Seven of the key recommendations were found to have been partially implemented, and a further 12 minimally implemented, with over half of the key recommendations showing no evidence of any implementation at all. I speak to Caitlin Newelt-Cairns from the Child Poverty Action Group, who co-authored the report, and begin by asking her to comment on the government's lack of action.
Yeah, I mean, they were definitely ambitious goals. The Welfare Expert Advisory Group was convened to inform the welfare overhaul that the government the coalition government committed to undertaking. They were wide-reaching, and we as Child Poverty Action Group don't necessarily agree with all of the recommendations. However, they were comprehensive, and the picture they painted was of a welfare system that is not fit for purpose. They described, and I quote, many people on income support living desperate lives on seriously inadequate incomes. And we simply believe that children in low-income households are worth the investment. So yes, absolutely, wide-reaching recommendations, and always a cost involved in investing, but you actually just can't put a cost on the well-being of children in our poorest households.
So, I mean, it's been nearly 2 years since the recommendations were made. What do you think has prevented the government from acting on them more wholeheartedly?
We're seeing a Labor government that's incredibly incremental in their approach to making change. We heard the Prime Minister on the radio this morning responding to our report saying, look, we've done X, Y, and Z. Absolutely, we acknowledge in this report they've made some changes. They had a $25 increase to benefits across the board in March. They indexed benefits to wages. These are important changes, but they simply don't go far enough. So we've got a government that's got the rhetoric right. They're trying to eliminate child poverty, so they say. They're committing to welfare overhaul. But their approach seems to be little tweaks around the edges, incrementalism, and they're shying away from the transformational change that the WEAG recommended.
I mean, yeah, in the 2017 election, they sort of painted a picture of a government that was going to be very committed to curbing poverty, and especially child poverty. Do you think that their reaction and their response since those recommendations came out perhaps show that they're holding back on that, or they're maybe not as committed as we previously believed?
It's incredibly frustrating to have a government that's put child poverty on the agenda, and again, we acknowledge it's great that child poverty is now part of mainstream political discourse and debate. However, it's not enough to just have a child and youth wellbeing strategy and to have a Child Poverty Reduction Act. It's important that we're actually seeing concrete change. So we're just seeing a lot of political rhetoric and sort of, yeah, narratives that don't necessarily reflect what many of our social services agencies are seeing on the ground, you know. Food banks, numbers are going up year on year. The housing register has exponentially increased over the last 5 years. All these indicators are telling us that things are getting harder and harder for whānau. They're not getting better, and yet we're not seeing an acknowledgement of that at the government level.
And so a sufficient acknowledgement, you'd say, would be if they were to start publicly committing to more of these goals.
Totally, and that's been a big frustration with this report, is that the last time they sat down and systematically went through all of these recommendations and detailed their response to them in the public arena was a year ago, November 2019. That's the last documentation. And so part of what we acknowledge in this report is that we can only conduct an audit based on what's in the public domain. So absolutely there might be more going on behind the scenes, but the government needs to come out and commit to making changes. We called for the government to increase income support before Christmas alongside over 70 other NGOs, and we just got a lukewarm response from the Prime Minister that these things are difficult and they take time. And that's been kind of the cookie cutter response to a lot of these recommendations is, you know, it's part of our medium and longer term work program. Well, children, those first 1,000 days, the first 3 years, are crucial for children's development, and we're keeping children in households that can't meet their basic needs because income support is inadequate. That's the truth of it.
I mean, yeah, as your colleague outlined, there is a considerate time factor that must be considered, obviously children's development can be seriously stifled by the chronic stress of having to live in poverty. And so how can, do you believe an approach from the government that kind of first identified and targeted that might be the way to go?
Do you mean in terms of targeting the youngest children? Or?
Yeah, and I think I'm just trying to look at like a starting point.
Yeah, I mean for us, and we highlight this in the report, the starting point is increasing income support. The Welfare Expert Advisory Group said that income benefit levels needed to be raised between 12 and 47%, depending on what benefit you're talking about. That $25 increase we saw in March was simply a drop in the bucket. It was inadequate.
I mean, the current climate we're living in at the moment, we have so many problems just being exacerbated by COVID and the effects of COVID, mm-hmm. both economically and just socially, I guess. Do you think now, because of all that going on, now is still a feasible time for the government to start publicly committing to more of these goals?
Now is the most appropriate time. We were hopeful coming into this year and seeing the pandemic unfold, devastating series of events, obviously, but we were hopeful that this pandemic would provide impetus for benefit levels to be increased to adequate levels, because more and more people were going to become unemployed and have become unemployed. What we saw in response was the establishment of a two-tiered benefit system where people who lost their jobs March onwards received a rate that was double the job seeker, which was just an absolute kick in the guts for people who have been struggling to make ends meet on these inadequate benefit levels. And we saw that as an implicit acknowledgement by the government. They know full well that benefit levels are inadequate, and yet they're just not making moves on this.
And so do you think coming into next year, we'd like to see some acknowledgement of that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we called for it before Christmas. The Prime Minister has turned that down, but we're really trying to keep the pressure on. As I say, the time is now, with more people coming off the COVID income relief payment. Some of those will be transferring onto core benefits, and those might be people who have never been on income support before. So it will probably be a rude awakening to discover just how little money they receive, particularly with rising rents alongside that. So we're really trying to keep the pressure on. And looking into early next year, really hoping, if not before then, that this next budget will have some meaty reform to the welfare system in it.
So basically our welfare system doesn't accurately reflect our current economic climate and the reality of what it is like to live, to be able to afford to live in this country.
Not at all. And so benefit levels were cut in 1991 with the mother of all budgets, and you can see when you map child poverty rates that overnight beneficiaries went from having enough money to live on to actually simply not enough money, and child poverty rates skyrocketed in 1991. And They raise the levels from which they've never recovered. So what we're really calling for when we're calling for benefit levels to be increased is for those rates to be recovered from prior to 1991 levels.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.